The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life on Freedom 95. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. It's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Today, we're changing it up a little bit. I have an amazing special guest, and we are going to take some time today to just chat. This is Brian Baird, and I'm going to let him introduce himself so there's proper justice done. So thank you for coming in.
I appreciate you having me in, and I can't do justice to the program, but I sure can add a little bit of comedy relief, if nothing else. But I do want to say I am Brian Baird. I'm a Johnson County Commissioner. I have been since 2013. Most of all, though, I'm a husband of 40 years and a father of two, a daughter and a son that have both turned out to be really, really good kids. So they never made it to jail, which is always a good, that's always a good point when you're raising kids. So I'm also a retired sheriff's deputy, semi-retired, I guess. I still carry two badges. I carry a retired badge, and I also carry a special deputy badge because they won't let me go. And I want to say hi to Dwayne Burgess, Sheriff Dwayne Burgess, if he's out there. I'm not bad-mouthing you. I'm just telling you, I'm ready to get out. I was a school safety officer for 16 years, actually, in the schools in Johnson County with my wife, who's also a deputy, or was. She's now retired also. Had a great time doing stuff like that. I'm a business owner here in Franklin, Indiana, LD Mechanical Contractors, just right up the road from the studio here. I moved that company down from Indianapolis in 1990, so I've been down here for a long, long time. Been in Johnson County my whole life. I don't know anywhere else to be. Enjoy it, love it, love the community, love the people, and that's one of the reasons that I did get into service in the community as commissioner.
When you rattle off all of these things, you're like, I've done this for 15 years and 16 years. I'm like, okay, so I know how old you are. That would make you like 120. I know you're not 120. Like, you just, there's so many things that you've done. No, I think it speaks volumes to like how active that you've been in the community to say like you've done with the school systems and deputy sheriffs and all of these really, really great things for how long. It's just, I think that's just great how active you are in the community.
I appreciate that. And my wife and I both, in our whole adult lives, we've been serving the community and doing something in the community. It's just the way our family is made. I hope that passes down to my son and daughter too, and that they do a lot of things for the community. My daughter actually helps me with a podcast that I do, so she's serving already and doing stuff like that. Does a lot of stuff for me that I need as far as my commissioner position. She'll help me out there too. So
yeah,
it's kind of cool.
What's the name of your podcast?
It's Truth is Truth Podcast. It's on Facebook, Apple, Spotify, Anchor. All I do is I go in and record the podcast. My daughter handles everything else. I have no idea how to do anything that way.
I do. That's, I just come in here, right? Like, yep. Here, just Jeremy, help me.
Kind of the easy way. Yeah. We like that. But it works out real well. So
yeah.
It's kind of nice to be able to work with your daughter like that.
Yeah, I think, so my kids are definitely, so I have two, right? Almost three and a one-year-old. And I think it's one of those things that you're like, you realize as a parent, your job becomes to raise faith-based, functioning, good adults, you know, like everything that you do is to help them figure out, like, in, you know, 15 years, like, how do you like serve the community and not just be anger.
Not just be a drag
yeah.
to the system. And I agree with that. And it is nice. As parents, what happens is we spend our whole lives raising our kids to raise their kids, mm-hmm. To hopefully raise their kids. And then next thing you know, you've got grandchildren, which I've got grandchildren your children's age. So I'm up there in age, but having a lot of fun with them, watching them grow and just watching how they develop and into little people. But just don't ever forget whenever you're around those smaller kids, they're sponges,
mm-hmm.
and they will take everything you will give them and they will soak it up. So,
oh yeah,
please be careful in that way.
Yeah, I heard the sweet spot is where being the grandparent is the sweet spot. You love on them, but you change less diapers and you send them home. You don't have to do the middle of the night thing. I heard that's the sweet spot is grandparenting.
It is. I've got a really, really bad gag reflex, so I can't change diapers. I got to tell you that story real quick. This is funny. My wife had to go somewhere. We're watching our granddaughter, and she decides she has to go to the number two in her diaper. And I take it for as long as I can take it, and I just can't take it anymore. So I finally go in, and I put her on the changing bed. We've got a little changing room in our house for her. And I pull that diaper off, and then next thing you know, I'm running to get a bucket because I'm throwing up and just gagging, and it's awful. I got snot coming out my nose. So I go in and get this bucket and end up finding one of those, the paper clip, the black metal paper clip, the big one that you put.
Yeah.
That's what I put on my nose to hold my nose so I can finish changing my granddaughter. Only time I've done it, only time I'm going to do it. So from now on, she's either going to be a mess or she's going to get changed before they leave. It was awful. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I'm in the thick of that right now. So let's talk about a little bit. So I think it's great, the story, how, because we are in very different phases of our life, you know, like kind of, I would say less more than you would really think. But how we got connected is you coming into the office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So if you just want to, how did you hear about the office?
Actually, my wife, who, make sure that I stay as healthy as I can. She's really, really good at making me do the things I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. She heard an advertisement from the north side.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually went up there and made a visit. I was having hip issues, as you know, and since had that corrected. But I think the problem is I probably came too late into doing what I was supposed to do on that issue. But we went up there and talked with them and found out that I needed some care,
mm-hmm.
To say the least. But anyway, he told us about the Greenwood because it was closer for us.
And,
yeah. Yeah, going to the north side just didn't work for us.
But south side.
I'm glad we did. I love the people there in your office. They do a good job. But most of all, what people need to understand is when you go into that care, if you do what you're asked to do, you're going to get better and you're going to improve. And I'm living proof of that.
Yeah.
I walk pain-free today, which is the first time I've walked pain-free in a lot of years. So, it's been a true blessing to be at the Greenwood Chiropractic up there with the family that we have up there.
So, yeah.
Good people.
Thank you. It's, I think this is always one that gets me excited is that we're, because sometimes people think, well, yeah, but not for me. And I'm like, no, this is, I had a professor when I was in chiropractic school and graduate school. And he said, if you put a mirror underneath your nose, does it fog? And he's like, well, then you have the ability to heal, you know, and then
that's cool.
Uh-huh. Right. Because that power and potential of healing is still inside of you. And so it's just one where you look at the five essentials of nutrients, you know, the nervous system, detoxification, oxygen in the muscle, mindset, you know, when you look at those things, it's like, all we do is facilitate that. Because what's interesting is that people come into the office and we have these huge testimonies and then other people don't. And you think, well, what's the difference? And it's just the utilization of that. And so it's always refreshing to have someone who comes in, really values their health And because they decided to be proactive and make those change, they see the deserved results.
And it's very seeable and doable. And I'm a great believer. And again, my wife pushes a lot of this, that the God made the body to heal. We just have to take care of it so it can do its job. And we do a lot of things to the body we shouldn't, that deter that from happening. So there's a process, I think, that people go through life destroying what God gave us in our body. And then they spend the latter part of their life, like me, trying to recoup back what we destroyed and what we went through and the injuries that we go through and things like that. And I was a football player up until the end of high school and was drafted in college and ended up staying home and going into business with my father. But had a lot of injuries from that, a lot of concussions, things that are coming back that haunt you as you get older that you don't think about when you're younger. And people say, well, did you push your son to play sports? No, I did not. He played some sports, but he wasn't a big sports person anyway. My daughter was. She was a volleyball player. But we don't think about those things for when we get older, the damage that we're going to do. And not that there's anything wrong with sports. I still love the game today. And if I was capable of playing, I'd play again today. we have to take in consideration those consequences that are going to come from that. And keeping your body healthy and chiropractic and keeping your body healthy is part of that regimen that you need to get into, because that's going to help your body stay prepared for what you're doing, whether it's running, marathons, whatever it is, you know, whether it's playing tennis. Pickleball's a big thing now.
Yes.
big thing. Boss. Yeah, it's amazing. We can keep our bodies prepared for that if we just take care of them.
Yeah, well, that's why when people say, well, why would you get your kids adjusted? Why do kids get adjusted? I'm like, well, imagine if you were adjusted. And this is what, when I have adults in the office, see big families come in, lots of kids, and they'll say, do all of those kids get adjusted? And we say, yeah. You know, and they'll be confused. Why? And I said, it's just like a simple question. Imagine if you were adjusted at their age, do you think that you would have the problems you do now? And everyone's like, it's like this light bulb that comes on, and they're like, well, probably not. And I'm like, exactly.
Preventative maintenance is what it is. And we all need that. I don't care what age we are. We need that. And just a little addition to that, I had my wife and I, being in the sheriff's office, we were a canine unit. We had a search and recovery canine, two of them. And we had one that was a boxer, and he continually would have back problems from being carried around in the vehicle and all that. And we actually had our dog adjusted.
Really?
By a chiropractor. And we could just see as his back end started coming up underneath him, he would kind of roll on his back end. We knew that it was time. We'd take him down, have him adjusted. And we really got into the habit of doing it every couple of weeks with the dog because he was just prone to that.
But
he was doing a fantastic job for us, so we felt like we should take care of him the best we could. So we actually had him adjusted. So you can do it with a lot of different things.
Horses, that's a huge equestrian chiropractic. I had a girl who I went to school with, and she's like, I never want to adjust humans, like just horses. I'm like, well, that's cool.
Nicer to get along with probably sometimes.
They don't talk back. They don't ask any questions.
They'll do what you tell them to do normally, too. Yeah. No, I understand that. Yeah, that's a big deal.
So when we come back, I want to touch a little bit just about, like, in terms of commissioner. I always said I don't want to go too deep into politics because that's really not my jam. But we really see eye to eye on a lot of issues, your stances, how you mentally prepare for the day. And we'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Today, we are welcoming a special guest to the studio, Brian Baird, Commissioner of Johnson County, Sheriff's Deputy.
One of three commissioners. I'm also, might as well throw it in there, I'm also a pilot. My private pilot's license. I've been fortunate, been blessed. I've been able to do a lot of things. As a kid, we used to, of course, you didn't have a tent in a sleeping bag. You slept out on the ground on a blanket back when I was a kid. And I used to remember looking up at the night and watching the planes go by saying, one of these days, when I grow up, I'm going to fly one of those. And it was a thing that came to fruition. I'm the only one in my family that had that interest. But
nice.
My dad loved it. He thought that was great. So he was actually, after I got my license, he was the first one to fly with me.
Aww.
So it's kind of cool.
That's sweet. So tell me a little bit more, because I had no idea for a long time that you were one of the Johnson County commissioners. And also, very candidly, I'm really not very savvy in terms of government and politics at all. So if you were to say like a general statement of like what a commissioner does, because some people will know and they'll be like, this is such a remedial question. And other people are going to be like, I'm with you. Like what if you were like, your job as a commissioner, like what is your job? What is your goals? Like,
we're the executive branch of the county. You have three branches. You have the executive, you have your judicial, which is your county council, which controls the finances, basically, and the budgets of the county. And then you have your judicial, which is your judges and your court and all that. And it's three distinct, just like it is in the federal government. But the commissioners are basically, we're the custodians of the home rule powers, what they call the home rule powers in the county. There's three of us commissioners. We do elect a chairman, which I've been the chairman of the commissioners since I've been a commissioner for 7 years, going on eight. But we have the powers of controlling and maintaining and supervising all the county property, including the courthouses, jails. That's all under our responsibility. Employees are under our responsibility. Contracts. Basically, anything that moves in the executive branch comes through the commissioners, and then if there's monies that's needed for any of that that we establish, then those departments or us need to go to council to get those finances for that. So kind of it checks and balances just like it is in your federal government. Doesn't really work any different than that. Of course, the federal government and the state pretty well regulate a lot of what we do anyway. So we only have certain powers.
What is your favorite part?
I love taking care of the buildings and the property. I'm in the construction industry, so it's kind of right up my alley. We've done a lot of neat stuff since I've been there. We've had to build the 911 center. We're, of course, doing the jail expansion right now. We've got I-69 that's going to be coming through. I built a new training center for the government. I built a new court system that I basically did. I did it as the commissioner that was over that. So I've had a lot of fun with that. The real important thing we've got coming through is I-69, of course. The jail expansion's already started. I-69's something that's coming up here shortly, that and probably next year, that we're going to have to be prepared for. And we are, and we'll get through it. I wasn't in favor of it coming through the county, but it's one of those things. It's here, so we have to deal with it. So
yeah,
we're going to make the best of it, and I hopefully we'll get reelected. I'm running again, but hopefully get reelected because I want to be a part of that. I think it's important that we protect the taxpayers that comes through this part of our county.
I feel like that's a lot of things in life. Like, hey, you know what? We're in it. It's happening. We just have to figure out right now how we get through it. Like,
we're here right now.
Is it right? Isn't that just the but? Okay. So on the flip side of things, what's your least desirable part of it?
Insurance, health insurance and benefits, things like that, and just having to I came from having about 60 employees on a full-time basis from a business that was my business that I could make the decisions I wanted to make, to really dealing with over 500 employees and having really utterly no control over the decisions I make. So it's frustrating in that part that you want to do things that you can't do. Especially when it comes to the employees in both ways, in disciplinary action for those who really don't do what they should, and then for rewarding of those who really do. Unfortunately, in Johnson County, we've got a lot of the latter, that we have a lot of people doing a really good job. So it's kind of neat, but it's not our money. It's taxpayer money, so yeah. We always have to consider that. It's a lot less frustrating when it's yours and you're spending it the way you want to spend it. So that's been difficult.
Yeah, that's true. So I know you are a Christian.
I am.
We are a Christian-based office. Because also I am Christian. But like, I feel like most people at this point, if they've listened to my radio show, know that for the sheer fact that most of my intros are all Christian music. You'll hear it in the office. Like someone once told me, they said, I think that your Christian music is offensive. And I said, I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. So I think that country music is offensive. So, but when I hear it in stores, I just try to hurry up and get out. They're not a patient anymore.
Can't imagine that.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those. I'm like, well, the good thing about what we get to do is I get to play the music I want to play. So
it's your business.
Yeah, no. But so have you had any, like, how is that in terms of like being a Christian with Commissioner? Have you seen any like regard that it makes it easier or not as easy? Like,
I think any time you're dealing in life, period, doing it from a faith-based position is going to be more difficult, because the world's just not prepared for that in the way that we would like for it to be. It hasn't hurt me any in being commissioner. In fact, I think it helps the community, because my faith is how I make the decisions I make. And that's done in preparation through prayer, supplication in the Bible and God's word, and just a relationship with walking with God and understanding what's right and what's wrong. So I think it's an advantage to people. And I've said, I came into this as a businessman and a Christian, not as a politician. And I'm still there as a businessman and a Christian. And I think you've got to walk that line and make sure people understand where your faith is. And I do that. And the people that work with me, they know who I am, and they know my faith, and they know that's the way I'm going to do my business every day. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah. So when we come back, I do want to touch just a little bit. Our thought processes are very similar when we talk about, you know, the state of what's going on right now in terms of the virus, COVID, stay at home, travel bans. When we come back, I just want to pick your brain a little bit about that.
Be happy to.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Initial exam and consultations, just $25. So we are welcoming our special guest today, Brian Baird.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. We realized that this would probably be a good fit because we talk often kind of about our thought processes in terms of health. And mine is coming from a background that's a bit different, but when we speak, it's very congruent. And so I said, why not? Because seeing more of like you coming from a commissioner standpoint, making more, you know, government-based decisions, like my decision affects me, my family, and the office, and the patients within those, my team, but like a smaller versus like your decision making is much larger than mine.
there's a lot to any decision we make. We affect 158,000 people when we make decisions, and some of those we're in over the unincorporated Johnson County, which is different than the cities and the towns and things, but still the decisions we make will affect all those people. So it's a fine line, and it's a tough line, and it's one of those you better be mentally prepared for, because you're going to win and lose. And no matter what you do, you're never going to win all and you're never going to lose all. So
yep,
kind of a bad thing. We have done some different things in the county than in the other counties have done. We don't have a travel advisory in Johnson County where we're stopping people from moving around. And we're just not going to do that. We have closed our county buildings to the public. And we hope to open those up very soon. But it's hard to be a public entity and close your building to the public. But
yeah,
it got to the point where we were really left with no choice on that. But there's plenty of other ways to get your business done in Johnson County without having to be there in person. So I paid my taxes without having to worry about it. So
yeah, you know what's interesting is that I feel like that's been one shift that we've realized, like, hey, look at all the things that we can do virtually, whether it be like we're in the office, we're doing virtual workouts. Like they had a Zoom call, I think yesterday.
3:30.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it's, hey, and then you can see like, hey, your form is not good. And you're like, you can do this. And it's just, I'm looking at maybe doing like an advanced workshop or an advanced talk. But we'll make it happen because we don't have another choice.
But we've been put in the position of where we are. And again, a lot of what happens throughout the county is brought down from the federal government, and especially the state will regulate that. So there's a lot of things we don't have control over. The things we do through the home rule in the county, we do the best we can with that. But I've said from day one, I don't necessarily agree with the way things were handled in this COVID-19 at the start in the process, but I still go back to what I've always said. We're here, and I have to deal with it, so we just make the best of what we can with what we have.
Is it like you can't, we're in it, we're living it, so you figure out what to do while you're there.
I don't like not moving around. I don't like... Yeah, I like going out to eat occasionally, things like that. So I hope we get back to that here shortly.
We've had to do a couple date nights that we lock the kids upstairs. They go to bed and we're like, there's a gate, and we're like, close the gate. And we set up and have like our little, like at the dinner table with just my husband and I. I'm like, well, this is our date night for this week.
I get that. At least you don't lock them outside.
No, I love them too much. It's been too cold.
You think about it occasionally, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Nope. 100%.
Somebody's got it.
What, from a standpoint for you, like how much of the federal like really does dictate what we can do in a county?
A lot of it. More from the state. The federal government will pass guidelines down to the state. The state will pass those down. And the states can do... The states under the governor have the freedom to do more than what the federal government does. And you're seeing that debate go on right now between mm-hmm. the president and the governors. And there are some authorities that if they don't apply from the federal government, the state regulates that anyway. So we're getting things passed down to us from the state. And most of that, we don't have an option. We have to comply in that. Your restaurants and things like that, you know, if it was up to me, I'd probably have our restaurants open and doing business, because I think our people in Johnson County are very trustworthy. And I think if we asked them to practice social distancing and make it work, they would do that.
Yeah.
And they would be innovative enough to do that. So I look at it from a little bit of a different viewpoint than locking everybody down, because in general, it's the way to do it. I don't necessarily believe that, but that's the state holds those permits and they have that ability, and that's for them to regulate. But
follow the rules.
doesn't mean I have to personally agree with it. and I don't. And I've made that very clear. There's things that I agree with, things that I don't. But.
Yeah, I think that's the one, you know, when it was 2 weeks, we said, hey, you know, okay, cool. We can do this for 2 weeks. And then it was like, well, two more weeks. And you're like, okay. And it was like, I kind of felt like I was a kid and I was grounded. And I was like, well, I don't, but you said two. Like, I can be grounded for 2 weeks. It's like, now it's four and then it's six. And I look at these businesses already that said, you know what? To restart back up from zero isn't worth it. And it breaks my heart as a small business owner to know, like, the blood's, like, legitimately, for my practice at least, not blood, but like the sweat and tears that come into running a small business, and how, you know, it's just, it's one that it's not easy. And when you have that momentum to then, you know, restaurants, all their perishable foods 6 weeks in are 100% gone. Yep. And so it's like they have freezer stock, but that's only a very minimal of most restaurants that you look at. So it's like, how many are going to want to open back up and do this? Like, it's just one, as a small business owner, I like, my heart breaks and I pray for all of those ones, because, you know, we've obviously followed the rules, stayed open. I can't tell you how many people, we had a 45-year-old walk in with a cane because his back went out. He's like, if you weren't open, I'd be in the emergency room. And we're like, yep, we kind of want to keep you out of there right now. So, but it's just one that, what do you think is going to happen with the livelihood of Johnson County when all of this is said and done?
I think we're going to suffer. And again, I've been very plain about that. I think you're going to have a lot of the businesses that won't open back up. The businesses that were that struggle every day. Restaurants, you know, there's not a whole lot of money in the restaurant business to start with. So, you know, they're running week to week, sometimes some month to month. But the bottom line is there'll be some, probably many, that won't recover from this. And I'm with you. I'm a small business owner, so it breaks my heart to see that happen. And I know a lot of these people because they're in my county.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know him personally, and I just hate what's going on. But, the virus was serious. I've never said it anything but serious. It can be deadly to a lot of people. But it's not the only virus we have that's like that. And that kind of regulates sometimes my ability to think about what we did in some fashion there and what we did not do in some fashion with that virus.
I was talking to a nurse yesterday. She was like a friend of a friend of a friend. And she was talking about how, like, she was in the thick of the H1N1. And she was like, and that was just absolutely. And she was like, I just don't really understand this. Because I think sometimes when you talk about what's happening, you're diminishing the impact that it has on people. And that's not what we're doing. We understand it's real. There are families that are affected. It's affected, you know, the health of individuals. So I think acknowledging that is really important. But that being said, when you look at the doomsday numbers versus now, when we're seeing what actually is coming to light, what's coming to fruition, I just saw a Seattle hospital close down. They had 1,500 beds, and they closed it. They did like an offsite where they could just put all of these patients, and they closed down with that one patient. And you're like,
And things were, and again, we didn't, nobody could have seen
right
what was coming. And I understand that. And we probably reacted in the way that was at the time the responsible decision. And I'm just going to be blunt, honest, as I always am. Sometimes we make decisions that we realize in the first little bit should probably be changed, but you get so far into it that, you know, if you do that, you're going to look really, really foolish. and I think we have a little bit of that that's going on too. And now that we're this far into it, how do you reverse it and keep everything flowing and still make it work? You absolutely know that when everything's released and we go back, there's going to be an upgrade and an uptick in probably the cases that we're going to have. But we wouldn't have noticed that had we not done what we did to start with. So this is going to end up being in the range that I felt like it was going to be in to start with, in that 2% range, 2.3 of a percentage of death to virus, to the positive on the virus. And we're learning a lot. My hope is that we come out on the other side of this and we've learned enough that we don't make the same mistakes we made before again.
Oh, yeah.
And as long as we learn from our mistakes, I can live with that. But in the process of that, we're going to hurt some people that probably didn't deserve to be hurt when this was all said and done.
Yeah, I have now had a handful of people who had gone through the antibody test. So it allows you, when you come into contact with a virus, your body naturally fights it. It creates natural antibodies. And so they've gone through and tested positive. And I'm like, the more that, but there's not a lot of antibody testing at all. And so you think, even like when you look at the death rate, I wonder the numbers of that. And that if you say 2%, 2 in 100, but hey, we only have minimal testing. So we're only going to test the sickest of the sickest of the sick. And you're like, so is it really 2%? Because, you know, I have a friend who is an officer on IMPD who had got it. And he's like, my throat was sore for 2 days. But because they tested him, they're like, you have it. And I'm like, right. But so how many people had a fever and a sore throat and had no idea it was that? And when you look at those big numbers, I'm like, is it 2% or is it exponentially less? The CDC came out with a data from March 1st to March 30th. And they found that for every 100,000 cases, confirmed cases of COVID-19, 4.6 were actually hospitalized. Like that 4.6 were hospitalized out of 100,000. And I'm like, okay. And so we look back at the numbers. And so this, the flu this year, 6.2 out of every 100,000. The flu last year was 10.
Yes. Yeah. That, and again, you know, I think that probably the biggest shock to us here in the United States is we didn't know what this was.
Yeah.
We weren't getting, I don't think, accurate information on what it was. and that can be debated till the cows come
right.
home. But I don't think we were getting the proper information to be able to react like we could have reacted.
Yeah.
And I think we reacted on the information that we had. And to be honest with those people that made those decisions, those were tough decisions that were made at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And they were making those based on
2.2 million people who are supposed to die from this.
The information that they had at the time. So, I think even though the right decisions were probably made for the information that they had, when we realized that things weren't what they were, I don't think we reacted quickly enough in maybe going back a little bit on this and bringing things back in. So now we're going to have to figure out a way to get back into the normal life process, whatever that normal is now. We're going to have to get back in that normal life process and just understand that we're going to have an uptick when this thing comes back. We're probably going to have an uptick when it comes to the flu season next year, of the flu and whatever viruses are around.
Right.
So well, it's just life right now.
And with that, you know, with the CDC article, they're talking about majority of the people who are hospitalized. I think it was something like 90% of those who are all hospitalized had a pre-existing condition. Number one, it was like 47% of them was hypertension, and then it was obesity, it was lung-related diseases, diabetes mellitus, right? So all of those things, typically diabetes is type 2, right? Obesity and diabetes can often go together because it's a nutrition-based problem. Hypertension. I had a guy, listen to this. I had a guy who's a patient back in 2013. I'm going to have him as a testimony, by the way. Patient 2013, kind of fell off. Wife stayed under care. Wife finally got him back in 3 weeks ago. I adjusted him for the first time and I said, hey, have you noticed any changes since being back on track? And he said, you want to know what? My blood pressure has gone down, right? We've talked to tons about chiropractic blood pressure. He said, he was usually running like 1 It's funny. His numbers and his wife numbers were different. So I'll give you the wife numbers only because I think that they may be more accurate. But she said it was like 148 over 90 to 95. And now he's down to like 128, 130 over like 80. And so, right, he's been adjusted for 3 weeks. So he's not made any other changes. He said he's not working out as much because he's been quarantined. And so I'm like, okay, big picture of things. Like, how do you fight this virus the best? Well, if majority of people who are getting this had a pre-existing, like, why wouldn't we just take care of our health? Hey, that's a question for you I didn't put on the list. How is it that we can get the government, right? And I know you're like just a fish in a pond, right? But like,
I'm the bottom sucker.
How do we get it so that, like, imagine if we could put in all of this money towards, or like media attention towards, like, hey, if you don't have, because high blood pressure, no big deal, here's a pill. Obesity, no big deal, you have a high BMI. Diabetes, no big deal, here's some metformin, here's some insulin, no big deal. When you're like, you really want to be able, when if another virus comes around again in 5-10 years, like, you want to be the best. People obviously care about health. We shut down an entire nation for this.
Yes, we did.
But yet when you look at the numbers from like hypertension, all of that, like, where's that media and government support?
It's not there, and that's unfortunate.
It sounded like an angry question. Sorry. But.
No, it's not there. And also understand that when I came into chiropractic care, and when I came into what I call wellness care, and I call it health and wellness care, I was on blood pressure medicine. I had high blood pressure. I was on stomach medication, acid, because I had severe stomach irritations and acid reflux. Within about 3 or 4 weeks of being under health and wellness care, I quit taking those medications. You know, I was told I'd never come off of blood pressure medication. I had to wean myself off of it, you know, a little bit at a time. But bottom line was, all I needed to do was take care of myself and do a little preventative maintenance that I started doing. And next thing you know, I'm absolutely medication free today. And just to throw it out there, I don't get a flu vaccination either. Yeah. I don't believe in them. And for me, but if you do, and it makes you feel comfortable, then by all means do it. That's up to you. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but I just choose not to do that.
Yeah.
And I tell people, and I say it again on the COVID or anything, the influenza, I have a mother and father that are elderly, and my mom's been a 4-time cancer survivor. My dad's had a stroke and cancer. His immunities and her immunity systems are down.
Yeah.
Tell them stay home. But they should stay home all the time.
My grandmother's going through chemotherapy right now. Yeah. And just like anything, like, do I think that she should have gone to the grocery store while she was doing chemotherapy in like August of last year? No. Do I think she should go now? No. Like, that doesn't change. If you're immunocompromised, you're immunocompromised.
It doesn't matter what virus is out there, what's going on in life. So, yeah, please. And if you feel comfortable, that's what you want to do and stay home. You know, I tell people, stay home. But please don't make me live under those same conditions because I don't feel that way.
Because you've worked hard to take care of your health.
I have.
Right? Like, you could have, this is where I look back and it's like, okay, so however many years ago you started this health and wellness journey, like, you had an option. As a grown adult, you had an option to take your health and put work into, right, making nutritional changes, exercising, you know, proper supplementation. You chose that, right? And it's not like it just came easy. Like, there's some work that comes behind. I have to prep meals because I can't just grab a healthy meal everywhere that I go, right? It takes work. So now when you look, like, yes, because you've done that, you've put in that work, you do fear that less, right?
And I do. And I don't have the health issues that make me prone to those things. And you know, I hate to say this, and I've said it from day one, is sooner or later, we're all going to get this.
Yeah.
It's going to go around. It's going to come around. And who knows? I may have already had it and didn't even know I had it. I can't say how I was going to react to that virus at that time. I try to think back of maybe, you know, when I had a sore throat or something, and I can't really come up with anything. But it doesn't mean, I mean, we had Senator Rand Paul, who had absolutely no symptoms and tested positive. So it's going to hit us all differently. But what I do is with anything else, I do it in preparation. I prepare for life, and not only with my health, I prepare for life in my spiritual battle and my faith, and I bring that all forward. And that's a lot of work. But on the other end of that, I come out much better for it. So
100%.
That's all that matters to me.
I think when you control what you can control, and you live a life of prayer and you nourish the body that you've been given, right? If you really want to look, that's not yours. It's not yours.
No.
You have it. You have to serve it well so that you can serve your purpose and why you're here. I think that's just the big picture. So I'll end with this, is that if you want to put in a good word to someone about some more health and wellness stuff, I'd be proactive to help you on that.
Greenwood Chiropractic.
Yeah. Greenwood Valley Chiropractic. Yeah, we'll be there to help support you.
I'm telling you, it'll make a big, big difference in your life. I'm a perfect example of somebody that was falling apart, and I'm pretty darn healthy for 61 years old today. So.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate not only your time, your wisdom, your expertise. We appreciate you tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.